verses 16 through 20. Praise God for our sound team and anointed musicians. See, if you were listening, you would know what I said. What you're talking about. Matthew 28, verses 16-20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. Somebody said, worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. On your mark, get set, go. On your mark, get set, go. On your mark, get set, go. We certainly pray that you will pray with us through this preaching experience. Matthew chapter 27 is the chapter in Matthew upon which Jesus is arrested, tried, found innocent, then found guilty, sentenced to death, crucified, and died. All that happens in chapter 26 of the Gospel according to Matthew. Chapter 28, however, begins with Mary and her cousin, who's also named Mary, who wake up early that first Easter morning and find their way to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body with oil and spices because of the swiftness of what happened on Friday evening. He was not given a proper Jewish burial. But you know the story. When they get to that tomb, they found that the stone had been rolled away and there was an empty tomb with a piece of linen laying on the ground. Like anyone who finds an empty grave in a cemetery, they become fearful. And an angel stops them on their way and tells them to do not be scared, for he who you have been looking for has risen just, somebody say just as he said. And depending on what gospel you read, they either start running or are told to run by the angels to go get his disciples. And a message is given to his disciples to go meet him in Galilee. At the same time that Mary and her cousin are getting his disciples assembled, those soldiers who have been posted to secure the tomb have to go meet with their superiors. They go meet with their superiors and tell their superiors what had happened. And what had happened was that there was an earthquake. And once the earthquake happened, the earthquake shook the ground and shook the tomb. We all know who caused that earthquake to happen. And after the stone rolled away, he walked out with his two good legs. Well, the superiors bribed them to do not tell anybody that an earthquake rolled the stone away and that he that we had secured in the tomb is now not in that tomb. They gave them a bribe for alternative facts and fake news. It just didn't happen with Trump. People have been paying for alternative news and fake news and alternative facts, even in the Bible. They bribed them to tell no one what actually had happened. And there are some accounts that even say they bribed them to say that his disciples broke him out of that tomb. But we all know that it was God and God alone who got Jesus out of that tomb. Well, after Mary delivers the truth, they meet Jesus in a mountain in Galilee. All of them meet Jesus up on a mountain in Galilee. I wish I had enough time to teach and talk a lot about all the mountain experiences that Jesus has and the importance of going up high to speak with him who is already high. I ain't. It is at and on top of this mountain that we get what is called the Great Commission. The Great Commission found in all the Synoptic Gospels. The Great Commission also found in Acts. That commission that tells each one of us to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And as God laid hold to my spirit a couple of weeks ago, what would be our theme or what would be our missionary emphasis for the year 2018, he told me to just tell your people, go. But I realized I didn't tell you where to go and how to get there and why we are going. Essentially, in track terminology, I committed what is called a false start. And so let me back up and give you a little information and a little guidance to why we're going, where we're going, and how we are going to get there. Because in every track meet, you've got to know what you're running, whether you're running the 100, whether you're running the 200, whether you run the 400, or whether you're running cross country. And you can all look at me and know that the only place I ran was to the kitchen. But there are races where you have to jump hurdles. You are called a hurdler. And those races are much more difficult than just running a straight 100 because you're on a straight surface with an intended target and nothing blocking your way. But this Christian journey is full of hurdles. It is full of hurdles. And it is cross country because we got to run on and see what the end will be. We just can't stop at the 100. We just can't stop at the 200. We just can't run our little leg of part of the 4x4 relay. We've got to run on and see what the end will be. When Jesus tells them to go, when he says go, run, go into all the world. He does not give them any geographical parameters. He just says go, almost like he told Abraham, just start walking, and while you're walking, I'll tell you everything you need to know along the journey. If you just trust me enough to just start walking, I'll be with you the entire way. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Just start out and go. He says, you've got to go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded of you. In other words, he says, you and us and we have to saturate this world with the good news and then train other disciples. We all have a duty to do that. Watch what happens in Matthew 28. When Jesus goes on the night before he's betrayed, he only takes three people, Peter, James, and John. The night before he was betrayed, or the night rather that he was betrayed, he takes only Peter, James, and John up to the mountain. But after he died, after he's resurrected, he brings the entire 11 because there's only 11 left because one committed suicide because he did not do what he said. When he just needs to commune with God to get his facts, to get his understanding, and get his mission, he only takes a few people because you can't take everybody with you when you talk with God. You cannot tell everybody what God has told you. You can only tell people who are up in the supernatural with you that when God gives you a revelation, you can't always share with everybody. Because everybody ain't a true believer. at somebody. Everybody up in here, up in here, up in here. Don't believe the whole Bible. They believe what they want to believe, what they like to believe. But this mission ain't no cafeteria line. You just can't pick out what you want like you at Burger King. You got to believe this whole word. If the scriptures you like in the book, the ones you don't like also in the book. And so after he dies and resurrection, wants to give the commandments of how we're supposed to live after he dies, he takes everybody. Before, he only took Peter, James, and John. But when he gives the great commission of how the church is supposed to operate after his death and resurrection until he comes again, he takes everybody and gives everybody a role. The teaching and the training of saints is not just the responsibility of Chris, Ron, and Erica. It is not just the responsibility of three people. He took three before, but when he gives them a commission, he brings everybody. So all of us are responsible for telling this world that the wages of sin are still death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And you ain't got to be no holy roller, foaming at the mouth, wearing a sheet on top of your head, wearing a collar, got a license. You don't have to do all that to tell somebody, let's have a word of prayer. When the last time you've been to church? When the last time you read your Bible? Why don't you come to Bible study with? Matter of fact, just get the app and start right there. All of us can be an agent of change because that's what the Lord has commanded us to do. He says, go. Well, the first thing in any track me, anything that I watched it on TV. First thing I know that whenever you start a track me, when they get on that track, the first thing they're going to say is on your mark. Can I get a witness? First thing, you saw it right there, they're going to say on your mark. This tells the runners in the race, get in your lane. I think I'm on it, Holy Ghost. Get in your lane and stay in your lane. I think it's 10, 8 or 10 of them. Everybody got their own lane. Now, the beauty on the track is they got white lines. And the white lines help you stay in your lane. In life, we got the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will help you stay in your lane. So you don't need to be telling me what I need to be preaching next Sunday. That ain't your lane. You don't need to be telling Erica what your favorite song is. That ain't your lane. You don't need to tell them to cut down the guitar because that ain't your lane. If it's too loud, move. And don't go to another church. Just go to the back pew. Watch what Jesus does. He takes them to a top of a mountain. Not at the club. Not at the community center. Not in his living room. He takes them up so he can have them to himself. And so they're not distracted by the world. And it's there that they are instructed to stay in their lane and get prepared to run this race. And then I know that after you stay in your lane, after you get in your lane, then that man who's about to blow that gun is going to say, get set. For the track runner or hurdler, as my brother here is doing, who's giving God the praise already in advance, that means you're going to put your foot and your feet in the starting blocks. They got little blocks, little metal, little contraptions that I don't know what they're there for, but they help, I guess, stabilize you. Maybe that's what they do. Hey, that's good. They help stabilize you, and when you get set, you've got to put your 2 feet in the block, get down in a sprinting position, put your hands behind the line, and wait for the man to blow the gun. They've got about 30 seconds, Mr. Manaya, to get their minds right, to get focused on what is about to happen. They just don't say, on your mark, go. Help me, somebody. They say, get set. They say, get ready for what's about to happen. And you got a few moments to stabilize yourself, get your hands behind the line, focus on the task ahead. Watch the text. After he gets in the mountain, on the mountain, what the first thing they do is worship him. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. When you worship, you get your mind right. When you worship, you block out all the cares of the world. When you worship, you forget the fact that your mortgage is due, that your life's about to be cut off. When you worship him, you forget the fact you got to be to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. When you worship him, you forget all the things that are outside and you focus on him that is on the inside of you. That's why you need to participate really, really, really in the praise and worship experience in the beginning of every church service. This way you get set to worship him, to adore him, and so you're open to the word that God is about to put in your spirit. But literally, when you close your mouth, you close him out. When you fold your arms and stare at the wall, that's all you're going to get back. The worship experience is so important to Christian living. That is where you spend time with God. That is where you talk to God. That is where you commune with him. Something happened the other day. We had a bad loss yesterday. One of my players stayed in the team room. I saw him with his hands in his face. One of the other coaches said, "Chap, you need to go talk to him." I said, "No. No, he's talking to God right now." I said, "There's a time and a place. And he needs some time with just him and God right now. There'll be a time for me to talk to him later. But right now, while I see him prostrate, him by himself, I'm not going to interrupt the communication that's becoming between heaven and earth right now." And every now and then, you got to do that. You got to put your hands in your face. You got to block out everybody and dare somebody to bother you at that moment when you're just talking to God. You got to put your hands behind the line, get your set stabilized, your feet stabilized, and get ready for the task that is at hand. And then after you're set, after that judge, that gun, whatever his name is, title, when they are sufficiently satisfied. I said sufficiently satisfied. When the guy with the gun realizes that everybody is ready, they don't say, "I'm about to blow it right now." Ain't no 1, 2, 3, get ready. You don't know when the gun is about to blow. That's why you got to already be ready when he comes. You don't know if it's coming in 30 seconds, 34, 35. You don't know if it's going to be a false start. You got to have your mind ready for whenever you hear that sound, to lift up your holy heads and be ye lifted up and see the King of Glory. You got to be ready to go. The word mission, where we get the term missionary from, it's the Latin word missio. That Latin word missio means to be sent. To be sent. To be sent. All of us, whether you got on a white dress, a little red, little corsage on, is a missionary. Each one of us who have given our lives to Christ by the commandments of Jesus Christ are required to be a missionary. Each one of us is required to go spread the good word of Jesus Christ. The good word that he was born. The good word that he lived. The good word that he still heals. The good word that he still gives sight to the blind. The still good news that he gives hearing to the deaf. The still good news that he makes a way out of no way.
The still good news that he is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes back unto the Father but by him. I know we're living in a world of alternative facts. We're living in a world of fake news. But the good news is that he lives. I say he lives. Anybody know that he still lives? And that he lives within my heart, and that he's coming back to receive me unto himself. This year, 2018, each one of us is being commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ to go into the world, to talk to somebody you ain't ever talked to before. You're not a counselor, but to give wise counsel to someone, to begin them on their Christian journey, to let somebody know that he's coming back sooner than we all think. And we've got to prepare people for the kingdom that is coming. Let me tell you why, as I told our leaders yesterday, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And this is the word of God. This is not my word. Everybody ain't going. He don't want everybody there. He does, but it ain't going to happen. Because everybody has not prepared their hearts to be there. That's what the judgment is all about. That he will bring into heaven those who have a pure heart like his. All your actions might not be pure. Everything you do might not be perfect. But you've got to have a right heart. And he's going to be looking for that right heart. And those of us who have that pure heart shall, somebody say shall inherit the kingdom of God. And only those who have been prepared by his word through the instruction manual will be able to get there. So you got to understand that when you become saved, you get a ticket. When you give your life to Christ, you get a ticket. For those of us who fly often, Mr. Manai, every now and then you fly standby. Standby means you got a ticket, but you ain't got no seat. Standby means that when you get to the desk, you hope they ain't sold out. You hope that they got at least one seat left. And they give you a seat assignment so that you can make it to your destination. Salvation gives you the ticket, but your heart don't give you your seat assignment. See, you got to go to not the desk at America, not the desk at Delta, not to check in for your flight. You got to check in at one of them gates. And all of us got a check-in time. All of us got to go and check in with the master to make sure that our hearts are worthy to come into the kingdom. And you can assist Jesus because he told you to. It is a commandment. That is why it's called the Great Commandment. It is not optional. We are commanded as Christians to share our faith. And if it's good enough for you, it ought to be good enough for your brother. It ought to be good enough for your sister. It ought to be good enough for that coworker that's getting on your nerves. It also needs to be good enough for your neighbor who's putting his trash on your side. That's all I'm telling you to do. Go share your faith. Go tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. Because a saved neighbor is a good neighbor. Let us stand on our feet. Give God praise and glory today.